Happy Lord's Day.
Happy Lord's Day.
It's good to see everyone here. And if you care, would you like to count with me? One day closer. We're one day closer to being to God. We're one day closer to being with our Creator. And we look forward to that day. Yes, amen. In the Green Book, please turn to 020 in the little green book. 020. A lot of you probably know this by heart. But just in case those who don't, we're going to sing this. And hopefully you'll see the connection here in a little bit. Living below in this so sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to bring temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. If you have not done so, would you please silence your cell phones, send them to stun, or natural disasters come and go. Trouble come and go. Spiritual trouble comes and go. What we do, the choices that we make during those times of trials, will definitely have the larger impact in our lives. When you're in that situation that you may find yourself, whether it's a natural disaster, spiritual weakness, the decisions you make will have the greater consequence. We've read this and we've heard this before. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. But it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And if you've been watching the news lately, there's a lot of fires going on. Thousands of acres burnt because of a spark. In the greater sense, when you don't control your tongue, what kind of fires have you set? Wildfires can catch you unawares. And many people had to be evacuated. Why? Because they weren't looking out. They knew the danger, potential danger was there because they live in an area that's been dry for far too long. And so they're not listening, if you will. They're not listening to the radio, not watching the TV. They don't even listen to their friends. Say, hey, be careful out there. And we've seen this happening quite frequently too. At the down building from earthquake. Where it seems like we're witnessing more and more of these. And not only earthquakes in general, but we also know that the intensity of the earthquakes are becoming greater and greater. How about this? Extreme floods. We're not talking about just little creeks running over their banks. We are now witnessing extreme floods where dams are breaking. But whatever we have seen so far during our lifetime does not compare to what God has done when he was using the flood to cleanse the earth. Consider that. These, what we've seen, are pretty extreme. But nothing can compare with what God did when he did what he did. And we have record of it right here. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth. And the floodgates of the heavens were opened. And rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights. On that day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. We're probably familiar with this. But I guess we can't really comprehend what they saw. The amount of water. And you can be assured that when it was raining, oh, it was raining. We're thinking we saw bucket loads here every night. Oh, no. We're flooding the earth. The whole earth. But it's interesting to note that precise numbers were given. Precise numbers. Unlike modern archaeologists of today, when they are asked, well, how old is it? They will say, oh, I suppose 100 million years or so. If I guessed the answer and put whatever I guessed on the math test, would the teacher be okay with that? Oh, I guess it's 100 million. No. If you don't know and you can't verify, the words come to mind right now. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you don't know, you don't know. Believe it or not, it's okay. You can find out the answer later. But nonetheless, they entered the ark, their place of refuge and protection. And yes, they built it. And it took a good long while. Now remember, no power tools. There's no Lowe's. No Home Depot to run to. They had to make everything. And it had to work right the first time. But they entered the ark. If they didn't follow the instructions from God, well, we wouldn't be here today. If they didn't follow those instructions, we wouldn't be here today. When Noah did right, it's another evidence of what does happen when right is accomplished. We are the beneficiaries of that. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Because he did right in the sight of the Lord, we receive the blessing because we are all here to this day. And what is right is doing whatever God wills for us to do. When you're traveling down the road, I don't know about any of you, and if you see one of these, have you ever seen one? Okay, it'll literally, I guess in some sense, take your breath away. Because what you're seeing is something spectacular, tremendous, what they would say, powerful. Well, when you see one of these on the road, what does your mind start to do automatically in the background? Is it trying to remember if you turned off the closet light before you went on this trip? Hopefully not. You are probably thinking of finding refuge and safety from this kind of storm. You are probably looking for a safe way out. You'd probably like to stay far, far away from this. And a lot of people, if they had some opportunity, would just simply turn around, get away, just get away. We know tornadoes are powerful. Again, we've seen a lot of the damage on TV recently of what one can do. Of course, our prayers go out to them who survived and also for those who are still looking for loved ones. But again, this is the reality we are in. This is life. And just because it hasn't happened to you yet, wait for it. Wait for it. It's coming. Can you figure out what that is? I know it's kind of hard to see. That is a fork embedded in a tree and bent over. I was looking for one of long. Yeah, it's hard to see, but that is a fork embedded in the tree and the handle bent over. There was a picture long ago, and I couldn't find it, where they're showing the, again, demonstrating the power of a tornado, that a straw, a plastic straw, if I'm not mistaken, was shoved into the tree. Yes. Sometimes in our lives, the words that are used in the storm of hurt feelings and mistrust that dig in, like this fork that is shoved during a tornado. We can say some terrible things when we're mad. We can say terrible things when we're hurt and not realizing that the damage you have done could be just like that. You've penetrated a trust. You've hurt a loved one. And even though it's not as big as a lot of other things that happens when you're in this fit of rage, that hurts. Is your personality like a tornado? Being destructive and not caring who or what is in your way? Remember, it's the little things that can cause great damage. We just talked about how a spark creates a problem. We see how in the midst of a fit or rage or anger, you can cause some problems. Could you imagine that fork hitting your body? That's a tree. Long after the fork is pulled out, the damage will take a while to heal. So does your spirit. When you damage someone like that, emotionally, spiritually, yeah, they may forgive you and pull the fork out, but it's going to take a while to heal. There may be collateral damage besides the intended person that you want to hurt. You're going to hurt others as well because of your temper. You've probably seen this before. We may certainly give a sigh of relief just seeing this sign when there's danger about. But knowing that it's there is one thing. Getting to it is another. But there is some calm assurance, and once you see that, you know at least there's a place I can go. There is refuge. There is shelter. And so, but you need to be able to get there. So I'm thinking about the stewardess, or is that the appropriate term? Flight attendant. If you go into a plane and you're going to fly, they have to give their mandatory safety spiel. And one of the things they do bring up is that exit sign to your right, exit sign to your left. And they're doing this thing. Exit sign to the back. Back here. But sometimes, they forget one of the most important things in all this, in their brief. Yeah. Where is the coffee pot? But anyway, it's good to know that those are the safety exits if you have to use it. But of course, knowing it and getting to it is the other thing. And I'm sure that many times there's been panic when the time comes to deploy those doors open and the entrance is blocked. And anyway, so the point is, it's good to know there is refuge, shelter. But the issue is getting there. When we take refuge in God, we must also make a conscious decision to trust in His protection. So would you think that it matters where you seek the refuge when it's needed? The appropriate shelter for the appropriate storm, if you will? Would this structure be suitable for a place of protection from disaster? No. This can change people. Choosing the right direction to go to find appropriate shelter is necessary for survival. It's one thing to have it available, again, to know where it's at, but to get there. To get there when it is needed. How about the arms of someone you love dearly? You find comfort in that? Is there shelter in that? There should be. Let me say that. I know maybe a lot of people don't have that, but there should be comfort in that. Of course, no one walking this earth today knows what Christ looks like. This is just an artist's rendering of a significant event in the past for our learning for today. But let's turn to Scripture. I'll be reading from Mark 4, 35 through 41. Mark 4, 35 through 31. And it is in reference to the event of where Christ calms the storm. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Straight up. I could just see him talking, looking right him in the eyes and say, do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this?" Now they know. They've been with him. They live with him. They prayed with him. They walked with him. And they still ask, "Who is this?" Even the wind and the waves obey him. Thank God. Thank God he has the capability to do what he needs to do. The disciples were still learning of his great power and authority. They were still learning after all that time. And just another demonstration of what he can do. So the question for us is, are we very well aware of his authority and power? Do we understand that he can do that? That he does that? He's very capable. Always has been. Always will be. That's important for us to understand, that when we seek refuge in him and him alone, that is the best place to go to. The best place to go to. Even while you're running toward the shelter, the tornado shelter, or you're exiting the aircraft, the thing you should be going to, all of us should be going to, is to our Lord right away. That's the best place to go. When we take refuge in God, we must also make a conscious decision to trust in his protection. In whatever measure he decides to bestow upon any of us, we should be at the point of our lives we say, "Thank you. Thank you, Lord." Okay. I forget the flight attendant's name. But years ago, commercial aircraft were flying over the area of Russia, somewhere between Russia and some of the Baltic countries. I forget where now. The aircraft was shot down by a missile. Supposedly it was a mistake. Nonetheless, the airplane had passengers, crew, flight attendants. 30,000 feet to 36,000 feet, I believe, is where these jets fly, way up there. It was still shot down. Came down and fell into a farmer's field. Of course, the farmer running to the wreckage, of course, was expecting the worst, as I would, as most people would. And so he's going through the fuselage, and he hears a voice. Flight attendant was calling out for help. She survived. The only one to survive. And of course, with God's blessing and medical help, she was able to be fully functional again. And she wanted to go back to being a flight attendant. But the company saw within The bigger picture said, no, people may associate you with bad luck. So she wasn't able, but she took care of the flight. The reason why we bring this up, even in those circumstances which seem dire, what many people see, there's no hope. We're crashing. We're falling. Where should we go as soon as you realize that you're in peril? To the Lord. Look what he done on her behalf. Under what people would say, what? Yes, because God is that good. That he can do his goodness on whomever, whenever, and whatever measure. And we say, thank you, Lord, for being good to her, to you, to me, to those who've had cancer. And we can say now that you're cancer-free because of God's goodness to us. Because we have taken refuge in him when those circumstances come. We're not scared. We're concerned. Don't get me wrong. Yes, we're concerned. We ask the Lord for help in making the right decisions on treatments, on who do we see, getting the medication right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We do our part. But when we realize and have the confidence that God will deliver you, will protect you, we say, thank you, God. And there should be a great comfort in knowing that. It's refuge. It is a place of safety. And like in Central Texas, where the Sojourners have the main camp there, they had a big pool at one time. I don't know if you don't realize it, but pools are very expensive to maintain in the Texas heat. Okay, it seems like as soon as you put the water in, out it goes. Nonetheless, so they stopped using it as a pool. They made a tornado shelter out of it. So, knowing that, it brings a certain comfort. You know, hey, we know where the safety is. We know where to go. But, of course, everybody who's new to the place must be told where it is. So, like in our faith, when we're new to the faith, we got to be told where the safety is. Where is the shelter? Where is the comfort? It is right here. Always been, always will be. With God's protective arms around us, we can face adversities confidently, knowing we are shielded from harm as we navigate through life's challenges. This next verse reminds us that God stands as our protector, always watching us and granting the assurance that we are safe under his mighty wings. Consider that. That when you are in the storm of whatever, whether it be spiritually, emotionally, medically, even in your marriage, it's always been this point. It should be laser focus, if you will. Focus on Christ, not the storm. Because he's the answer. He will calm the seas. He will stop the wind. Because he can. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He gave everything so that we could have something. And that something is most precious. Most precious. It is life-changing. You know, you've heard of heart transplants before. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? If you were to told doctors decades ago, I mean, no, centuries ago, we're going to take your heart out and put in a new one, they would think you were full of bananas. Right? But we can, of course, God's, with God's blessings, man is capable of doing that, giving you a new heart. He, in a real sense, does the same thing with each and every one of us when we turn over our heart to Him. You are given a new heart. One that's full of compassion, supposed to be full of love, full of wonder, full of amazement, full of the good things that He would want us to have. Because He's what? The great physician. He knows. And we've heard this before. Hopefully you've read it before for yourselves. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When I was younger, I had a hard time trying to understand that phrase, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Of course, I came up in a family that was not one known for compassion and love and genuineness. I thought of the rod and the staff as something that my father would probably use on me to beat me. But that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that when you see the shepherd with his rod and the staff, that is comfort, because who's holding it? Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. And when you see that, you know that there is refuge. That's my Savior. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Now this is scripture. This is God's word. What He says is the truth. It is the truth. Hopefully you believe it. Take comfort in that. Take refuge in that. The Lord is faithful in all circumstances that you may be going through. Your doubts are your own doubts. Your fears are your own fears. Your weaknesses are your own weaknesses. What the Lord has told us is that He is faithful. Newsflash, He doesn't lie. This is refuge. This is comfort. This is truth. This is where we run to when we have difficulties in our lives. Whatever the difficulty may be. Again, for our knowledge, you need to put this in the bank. Put it on deposit. Put it right here. Understanding that that is true as well. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. When life brings its storms and challenges, we might naturally feel weak or overwhelmed. As we said before, that's the human condition. However, when we choose to take refuge in God, we tap into His strength, which is limitless. Bonus, He never, ever gets tired. We find that we can face our difficulties with a newfound resilience because we are resting on a foundation, His foundation, where God's strength empowers us to overcome obstacles and keep moving forward in faith. Let's gather around God's word as we recognize that our true strength comes from God, who lovingly invites us to learn to lean on Him and draws us into His powerful embrace. It's been said, and I believe it to be true, a hug does a world of good. A hug does a world of good. I know a lot of people have different feelings about that because of where they've, their upbringing, if you will, or their life experiences. It probably was not a family thing. But when I became a Christian, it's a family thing. And I hope the point I'm trying to make is that we all need each other. We need to love each other. We need to embrace each other, encourage each other. And if it's through a hug or a handshake, a pat on the back, do it. Unfortunately, this is an event that happened many, not too long ago, but it happened. It was unfortunate. We're at a meeting with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And like most congregation or facilities, there's some sisters who are widowed. I came up to this one sister, gave her a hug, and she told me, "Chuck, I haven't been hugged in over 2 years. That hurts. Our brotherhood should take care of each other better than that. All of us have the responsibility as our brothers and sisters in Christ to pray with them, again, to encourage them, to love them, hug them. I don't want anyone in here to go 2 years without an embrace of encouragement. It goes two ways. Okay? And one got by me, Tom. I'll do better on the printing. I'll read it for us. Where it states, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." One day closer. "See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of mercy and compassion. As the saying goes, all good things are worth the wait. We are all one day closer. Some are a lot closer than we know. Age is not a factor. Age is not a factor. James 4:14, in part, the scripture reads, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Picture's worth a thousand words. If you're driving along and you come up to an intersection and you saw that, what would you think? What is that? A song long ago, not too long ago, I guess. Here's your sign. Here's your sign. And that's the way it's always been. His way. What must I do to be saved? Well, we hear the gospel. We've got to believe the gospel. Repent of our past sins. Confess Christ as the Son of God. And be buried with Christ, our Savior, in baptism. And continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. He has made a way for us to enjoy and use the refuge that only God and Christ can offer. Become a child of His, an heir to incomprehensible riches from God, our Creator. Let's stand and sing the song selection of encouragement.